From the Windows, Doors, and More Studios, your one-stop shop for all your kitchen and bath needs. The Pat Miller Program. WoWo, 92.3 FM and 1190 AM. Depend on it.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Hi, welcome. It is Saturday. In fact, this is our fifth Saturday now to meet with you here to do the Pat Miller Program in our new format. So very glad that you are with us. I just pray that you enjoy your time with us today and you plan to come back each and every Saturday. Remember, if you can't be here for the entire program, or if you miss all of it, you could still go back on the website and find it, because we take all three segments of all 3 hours of every program and we post them on our website. And you can go to wowo.com. That's wowo.com. Click on Programs, then select mine, the Pat Miller Program. And then when you get in there, you can find that we have them all listed there and all of them broken down by segment. Well, we just came through a really hectic week, a really busy week, and a lot of it was culminated about midweek when Special Counsel Robert Hur was there on Capitol Hill, and he was talking to Congresspeople from both sides of the aisle, and he said this: "My team and I conducted a thorough, independent investigation. We identified evidence that the president willfully retained classified materials after the end of his vice presidency when he was a private citizen." Well, some of them came unglued because he subsequently decided not to charge Biden because he is senile. So what does that mean? If they chose not to charge him, did that mean they came to some foregone conclusion? There are some who think that maybe he did. Primala Jayapal, who is a Democrat from the state of Washington, and she's the one who's in with Ilhan Omar and AOC and others there on the squad. And she said, "So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden." Is that what it was? Because then the special counsel, Robert Hur, came back at her and said, "I did not exonerate him. That word does not appear in the report, Congresswoman." So in other words, I'm giving you the facts of what we saw, of the facts that he seemed like a guy where senility is a large problem and part of the problems that we have, where it was that he was not, maybe if he wasn't automatically doing things by choice with a negative slant to it, that perhaps his senility was causing him to miss things and to not handle them properly, which, by the way, puts us at no less risk than if he had done it intentionally. This is coming back. This is Adam Schiff, of course, you know, my favorite member of Congress. Adam Schiff said, "Mr. Hur, you cannot tell me you're so naive as to think your words would not have created a political firestorm. You understood that when you decided to go beyond specific references to documents, you understood how they would be manipulated by my colleagues here on the GOP side of the aisle by President Trump. That was a political choice. It was the wrong choice." This is the same Adam Schiff who constantly manipulated evidence to help impeach Trump, not once, but twice. Robert Hur came back and said to Schiff, "I could have written my report theoretically in a way that omitted references to the president's memory, but that would have been an incomplete and improper result." Now, Hank Johnson, member of Congress, who, and let me put this in context, Representative Johnson is the same brilliant representative that told us that we've got to be careful about putting too many troops in Guam because it's not that large an island. And if you had too many of them on one side of the island, it might capsize into the sea. Yeah, that Hank, it might capsize Johnson. He said, "You use your report to trash and smear President Biden. You knew that that would play into the Republicans' narrative that the president is unfit for office because he's senile." Can I ask you a question? The same question that I would ask Jayapal, the same question that I would ask Schiff, the same question that I would ask Johnson. When you see the level of loss of control of his memory, where he could not even properly give the date or the year of the death of his son, he could not seem to pinpoint things. He could not seem to be able to give in the notes from the interpretations that they did relative to the information that was given when they interviewed the president. He couldn't even tell them exactly when it was that he was and when he was not vice president of the United States. That's a bit of a problem. I mean, I take that as a bit of a problem. Maybe they're fine with it. I don't know. Look, cognitive impairment is a real problem. Julie Kelly says, Biden is asked whether all materials marked eyes only is classified. I'm not sure, he said. This transcript, folks, is going to become a goldmine for Trump in the classified documents case. Eyes only. Is that classified? And the president said, I'm not sure. Well, then what would make you sure? Sean Davis said, look, Joe Biden does not have a stutter. He has dementia. You know it. I know it. And everybody with eyes and ears knows it. He's a senile, demented old man who has no idea who or where he is half the time. I will tell you, there are three times in the last 2 weeks when he has finished a personal appearance somewhere, and if his wife did not jump onto the platform at the end of his speech and sweetly take him by the arm and start to lead him off, he would still be up on those platforms trying to figure out how to get out of there. And that's the problem. That is the problem. Some people can't seem to wrap their arms around that, but it's definitely a problem. We're going to be back in just a minute, and when we are, I'm going to continue some thoughts on the president, not so much about his senility, but maybe about some of his decided decisions that he has done and where he has gone as we continue to move throughout the Saturday. Now, remember, when I'm here, you can text me at 46862. That's 46862. Text the word WOWO, followed by your question or comment, and it comes right here into the studio. Or you can email me even after I'm gone. That email, Pat Miller, all one word, no dots or dashes, patmiller@wowo.com. And I promise you, I will get back to it absolutely as quickly and completely as I can. We'll be back with more straight ahead on this Saturday. This is Pat Miller here with you on WOWO 92.3 FM and 1190 AM.
This is the Pat Miller Program on WOWO 92.3 FM and 1190 AM and on the WOWO app.
Hey, welcome back. It's the Pat Miller Program here on this Saturday. Glad that you're with us as we're getting closer. You realize we're almost done? Seriously, with the month of March? I mean, I can't believe it. We're halfway through it. It seems like we just started this new year, and here we are. But I guess that's the way life is, right? They say when you get older, I remember my parents and my grandparents tell me this when I was young, because, you know, I was like you. You know, it's like, oh, I can't believe how long it is until we get to spring break. And you would agonize over every minute of every hour of school until you got out of there. Well, until spring break or summer break would come, and then it went rapidly fast. But there was this thing about us back then that time just drug and stood still. I'll never forget my mom and my grandmother saying, be thankful when you get older. This is the big threat of parents and grandparents to their kids. When you get older, time will fly. You will be amazed how fast it goes. You won't hardly believe it. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever, Mom. Thank you, Mom. Sure. What? And that's where I'm at. That's exactly what happens. So here you go. So we are in our second part of the first half hour. I talked to you a little bit about some things, some thoughts that some people had there on Capitol Hill and around Capitol Hill on the findings of Robert Hur. And what's crazy about this thing, it's not like this just came out. They've had this on their laps for a couple of weeks, and just now, because somebody wanted to bring it to the forefront, the Democrats are practically having a cow over all this. And fine, knock yourself out. But I think there's a lot more to talk about. For example, Rand Paul brought up the fact that Joe Biden now is having some budget nightmares President Biden, Senator Paul from Kentucky said, President Biden treats the taxpayers as though we are limitless ATMs. Every dollar taken by the government from those who earned it is not a dollar, not spent on a family's dinner table. It is not a dollar spent on a child's education, and it's not a dollar spent on a retirement plan. See, that's the thing. Every time we come out, we say, okay, here's what's going to happen. The federal government is going to forgive all your student debt. No, you're not. No, you're not. It's going to be rolled from somewhere else onto where you want it so you can carry that to the polls and people can go, oh, yeah, he's the one that got rid of our student debt. No, he didn't. No, he did not. He's the one that is making it to where it's just another ongoing problem down the road. And when you're my age, college age person, when you are my age, you're going to be grappling and groaning and saying, how on earth did we get to this point? Just remember this day when the short, fat, ugly guy on WoWo said, write it down, mark it down, date it, and remember it. This will come back to haunt you. And it will come back to haunt all of us. Oh, look, for the first months and weeks, for the first couple of years, oh, man, I got out of that student debt. That was hanging over my head, but now it's all gone. And Joe Biden took care of it. Joe Biden took care of it for me. God love Joe Biden. Get me to the polls. I've got to vote for Joe Biden. Well, Rand Paul said, President Biden is treating you and me as taxpayers as though we are limitless ATMs. This money does not come up out of nowhere. Dominic Pena said, why is the federal government not even close to a balanced budget? Economies that are actually thriving don't need a federal government spending $1.8 trillion more than it's taking in. Why do we need that $1.8 trillion? That $1.8 trillion is not being put in there so that we could lower our debt. It will actually increase our debt by that much. It's being put in there so they can hold $1.8 trillion on huge signs at the Democratic National Convention saying, look what this president has brought to you. And they will clap their hands till they bleed. They will stomp up and down and scream and holler. They'll start parades through their assembly hall, and they will go absolutely nuts and crazy. If he gets reelected, if Joe Biden gets reelected, remember that convention. The convention that happens this summer, which sets up everything for the final push by the Biden-Harris administration, be ready for it because that'll be the one that'll come back to bite us. The Manhattan Institute, Brian Riedel says, the president isn't simply raising taxes to close the deficit. He's raising it to expand government. This isn't raising money saying, look, this is a lot, but we're going to raise this money because we're going to take everything that we can raise and shove it directly toward our debt. That's not what they're doing. They're not applying any of this to our debt. They're applying it to more government benefits so people can grab them, take them, and use them, and then everybody can jump up and down and say, what a great president. Look at all he's done for us. I would tell you, you need to stop for a moment, look at it honestly, look at it with clear eyes and say, not look what the president is doing for us, look what the president is doing to us. I might be dead before it all comes to play. I'll be 70 in June. I've had more than my fair share of health difficulties. I hope I'm around for another 20, but if I'm not, I'll be out of here. By the time all this comes crashing down, because the president always talks, well, 20 and 30 years from now, well, 30 years from now, I'm going to be walking a street of gold. Okay. So from a physical perspective, not really my concern after that. I'm not crazy about it because I don't like what it's going to do to our kids or your grandkids. Look, if you make $50,000 a year and you're already $340,000 in debt, why not put $73,000 more on the credit card for funsies? Why not do that? Why not take $73,000 more on the credit card and wipe it out with the $73,000 so you can get it down a little bit? Why not do that? I mean, have you ever noticed how Democrats never suggest, never And when I mean never, they never cut a single dollar in spending. They never suggest eliminating programs that don't work or that have exceeded their sell-by date. How many of those have we had? If we do this, we can stop paying for this by the year yabba, 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 because then it'll all be gone. How many yabba, 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 yabbas have we passed? And yet we're still paying. Why is that? That makes no sense to me. Instead, they demand more from the successful to subsidize and buy votes from people who pay no taxes, many of whom already receive government checks. Look, President Joe Biden, at the end of the day, actually seems to have more respect for the dignity of illegal aliens crossing our border than he does for the victims of criminal illegal aliens. Where was Laken Riley's dignity when her skull was being crushed? Where was that? Where was that? If we just keep letting the administration, this one or the last one or the next one, if we just keep letting them off the hook, because, you know, that's how we do it, that's what we do, let's look the other way. That's a dangerous way to run a government. Because if you run with that great of a deficit, you have no idea what you're doing to yourself. I'm afraid we will have an idea at some point in the future, but not quite yet. We're still so much with our head in the clouds. We're still so encumbered with the personalities. We're in love with Joe Biden. We're in love with Donald Trump. And you say, why are you throwing Trump in on this? I'm just saying I see some things about we Republicans that also bothers me. Because I think in the midst of it, I think sometimes our guy says something that sounds almost like what the other guy says, but if our guy is saying it, we find a way to make it work. That's very dangerous. That's extremely dangerous. Later in the program, probably in the last hour, I mean, what's going to happen to the Trump-Georgia 2020 election case if Fannie Willis is disqualified by the court? What's going to happen if this DA down there in Georgia, who has done so much, and she and her special prosecutor, Nathan Wade, look, they should be disqualified from this case for allegedly lying about a personal relationship that the two of them had together. She should be disqualified, and that should be it. Get it done, get it out, you're down, you're done, you're over. Why? She stashed tens, even $100,000 of money that had come to her office to be used for certain examinations and discovery of case, and she used it for their own good, for vacations, for paying him directly out. Why are you paying him directly out of your pocket? If he is a bona fide member of the court and he's functioning for the court, why not pay him through the court? Unless you're afraid you could never get that done. Is that what's going on here? The bombshell allegations in this case has led to a blockbuster evidentiary hearing last month in which Willis and Wade denied the allegations that they were in a relationship and denied that Willis hired special counsel Nathan Wade when they were secretly romantic lovers. Oh, and he financially benefited from his hiring. Gee, no kidding. What was it he made? $700,000? If she had hired me, that would have benefited me too. When he was hired, Willis never benefited from Wade's position because she would reimburse him with cash for all the vacations they took together. Has she? Has she? You know, sometimes people that have no concept of money, and then they're not held accountable with money, if you let them go and if you let them go free and they get a chance, they in fact will not be held accountable for that money. That's how it goes. We're going to be back with more here, going straight ahead here on the Pat Miller Program. And welcome back on this Saturday. Just very, very glad that you guys are with us. So let's do this. Let's take a slight break in the middle of the Big Ten tournament playoffs. IU, you're killing me. And just everything else that's been going on in our lives. And we're going to dig in right here with Caleb Blakeslee from Fort Wayne's Morning News every day from 5 to 9 right here on Mobile. Kayla, good afternoon to you. Welcome back on Saturday.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the latte.
Well, you know, to get you to keep coming back on Saturday, I've got to do something.
It makes me happy. And this next story that we're going to talk about also makes me really happy. Unfortunately, Pat, I don't know that it will really do anything for you, but I do think it will make a lot of Hoosiers happy as well.
Uh-oh. But you don't know that it'll make me happy.
No, here's why.
Okay.
Happy Hour is coming back to Indiana.
So we're talking guzzle, happy
adult
hour.
Adult beverages.
Okay, yeah.
Adult beverages.
Now,
yes.
If we're talking about sweet tea happy hour, then I'm right there with you.
I don't know. Maybe they might. You could order a non-alcoholic sweet tea maybe that they have on a happy hour.
I think
most
sweet
special.
Tea is non-alcoholic. I don't know that that's an issue. Is this a new bill?
Yes, this has been a long time coming. Here in Indiana, we've had this ban on happy hour for almost 40 years now. And this ban was initially enacted back in the late 70s, early 80s, somewhere in there. I don't math well, so okay. You get the idea. To basically crack down on a lot of drunk driving. I think the intention of this bill was actually, quite smart to try and curb down on some of this not so great activity happening after a certain time at night. But I mean, fast forward now to 2024, here we are. We live in an era of Ubers and Lyfts and, you know, biking is really popular, whatever. So this has been up for debate at the State House, and it was really interesting, in the House, they kind of debated it back and forth. Then it moved over to the Senate, and the Senate was like, yep, done, signed it. And so here we are. The governor just signed it into law Thursday afternoon. So it is official.
Okay.
It is a done deal. I do think it's important to point out, if you're a restaurant owner right now or a bar owner listening, no, you can't have a happy hour tonight. The bill won't actually go into effect. The law won't go into effect until July 1st, which is when all of our laws.
Okay,
laws
so don't break your day. Get that done. You got plenty of time to print new signs and
yes,
all the other stuff.
There are also some guide rails that have been put into place as well. There are some rules. So restaurants and bars cannot do this all you can drink kind of thing. I know it's really popular for a brunch to be bottomless mimosas, all you can drink, right? For $20, whatever.
Right,
you can't do that. You can't do this whole all you can drink thing.
Okay.
So there's no doing that. There's also a happy hour window for bars and restaurants that they do have to abide by, okay? Happy hour cannot last for more than 4 hours in a single day.
Okay.
And bars/restaurants cannot have accrued more than 15 hours a week when you combine all of their happy hours. Does that make sense?
Okay. So 4 hours maximum in a single day.
In a single day.
And under 15 hours in any given week.
Week. Correct. One other guideline that's important to point out, happy hour must end before 9 p.m.
Ah, gotcha.
Again, still trying to curb, a good intention here, trying to curb any real drinking and driving.
Yeah. And given that most people, again, I'm not a drinker, but most people that are out doing social drinking, which this would probably appeal to a lot of those people, mm-hmm. if you got to end it at 9, odds are it probably won't start until 5.
Yes, I would think so. I mean, when I think happy hour, I think 3 to 5, 4 to 6, maybe you meet some friends out for a cocktail first, then you have dinner. You sit,
right.
You hang out,
right.
You're good to go by 7:30, 8 o'clock. That would be me, but I don't know. I don't see 10 o'clock very often anyway these days. This also, the one piece that kind of really was debated in the House was this idea to be able to send a specialty cocktail to go, to send one home. This does include, you are allowed to get that specialty cocktail to go. It's something that...
Okay, but you could drink it in the car.
No, you can't open container laws, so you still can't have it opened in your car.
Okay, let me ask you a question. In that I don't drink, and you're our resident lush, but no, that was the wrong thing to say. No, but I mean, you drink, and you know other people that do drink. Mm-hmm. Is it inconceivable that somebody's going to have it with the lid on it going home, and it's never going to be opened up, and they're going to drink it in the car on the way home?
I don't know. I've never done that, so I don't know. But to me, this would be you're over at 2E's, and they've got a specialty wine slushy, night. And you're like, hey, can you pack me up that wine slushy to go? That's what I think, I guess. And if you want to drink it while driving your car, it sounds like a personal problem that you need to have addressed ASAP.
So this would apply to anybody that has a liquor license. So if you're a full-blown bar, or if you're like a J.K. O'Donnell where there's a bar in your restaurant, this would apply to them. So you've got this deal where it's maximum of 4 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be done before 9 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. and you can't go over 15 hours in any given week.
Correct.
So that's the parameter.
It is. And I'm glad you brought up insurance, because this bill also does require all retailers, so again, whether you're at the bar, the restaurant, what have you, to have their liquor liability insurance.
Well, yeah.
So you have to have that as well. That's part of those parameters.
And you know what? If you don't have that, you shouldn't be serving it
in
the first place.
Right. I mean, that's a standard practice. Yeah. I would think that most restaurants and bars have, but you know. You never know. I just, you know, want to throw that out there. I did think the piece that was kind of brought up when arguments were made, and forgive me, I can't remember the representative who made this argument, but it was a really good point. He said a lot of bars and restaurants haven't bounced back yet since COVID, which is kind of sad and unfortunate, especially a lot of our bars and restaurants around here are locally owned. They haven't bounced back yet. So the hope is that by reintroducing happy hour and lifting this nearly 40-year-old ban, that maybe it will help kind of bolster service again.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe give people just one more reason to go back to visit that place that they used to visit, or maybe to try out the new bar. Now, and because I really don't follow them, which is, you know, even though I don't drink, I should probably keep up on this, and I don't. Have we lost a lot of bars in the Fort Wayne area?
We've lost, I feel like, a ton of restaurants, a ton of bars over the last 4 or 5 years. And to be honest, Pat, I don't think it's all COVID to blame.
I don't either.
I would say it's COVID and, you know, the record high inflation that we've had over the last couple of years. I mean, you put those two things together and it's the perfect recipe. I mean, Three Rivers Distilling Company, not too long ago, just announced they were closing their doors. And I know one of the partial owners over there, and I texted him because my heart broke for him. I knew it was his dream. It was his baby. And I said, I'm so sorry. Like, what happened? He said, we just have not bounced back from COVID. He's like, and then the cost of everything these days, he goes, we just can't do it anymore. I had the text. You know, that's what he told me.
See, and again, I guess what throws me on that is, let's say you have 500 regular customers that used to go there off and on throughout a two-week period. I would think that those 500 would be some of the first ones to say, oh, they're back, let's go. Mm-hmm. But so they're going elsewhere now, or they're just not going back there? I mean, somehow they're not coming back.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. It is hard. You know, yes, I like the occasional adult beverage. And I think it's hard when you can go out and buy a bottle of wine, a decent bottle of wine, for $12 to $15, right? And you go out to the restaurant and you order that same kind of wine and they charge you $13 for a glass.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense as the consumer,
right?
Now, if it's happy hour and you're going to have a $6, you know, that same glass of wine for $6, then okay, I could justify
that. Work.
Yeah, I can maybe make that work, you know, financially. But I'm telling you, the price of alcohol, at least I feel like these days, is obscene.
I have been at the table in business lunches and things like that, and I don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
And this sounds like I'm a real nerd. Normally, if somebody's at my table and they drink, their alcohol doesn't go on my bill. Okay?
Fair, yeah.
But we all know that going in. It's not, I'm not telling you I've never paid for it, but I'm not a snoot about it.
Yeah.
But I am stunned at the difference of a lunch bill of somebody that eats exactly what I ate, except I'm having unsweetened iced tea and they're having two or three glasses of whatever.
You know, it's kind of interesting. My husband and I did Dry January, and not that we drink a ton, but we do like to go out for dinner, and we usually have a cocktail or two, depending on who's driving that night,
right,
you know.
Right.
And it has been staggering when you see your bill, you know, all through January with no alcohol versus when there is alcohol on the bill.
And then,
I mean, you can tack on another $20, $30 easy for alcohol.
Yeah.
It's actually something that we have continued to give up for 2024, no more alcohol when we go out to eat.
Yeah.
Just as a cost-saving measure, one of our goals from the new year was financial growth. And so that's one way we're like, you know what, we've noticed such a big difference, we're going to stick to it. Because again, how can you justify that $13 glass of wine when you can buy the bottle for $15?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, that's like, you know, if you take gasoline, if you look how much you pay for gasoline when you go in and fill your tank, if you fill your tank, if it's $3 a gallon, but if you buy just under 5 gallons, then they're going to charge you $4 a gallon.
Right.
I mean, you say, well, nobody's doing that. No, it's the same premise, though. Because the wine per glass is no different as far as the wine.
Right, exactly. So, you know, for whatever reason, here we are. The ban has been lifted. Whether you drink or you don't drink, I think a lot of your friends and family are going to be happy about it. Let's put it that way. But again, let me stress, it does not kick in until July 1st.
Okay. Well, then I promise you this. I am not going to go and order my martinis before July the 1st.
There you go. And when you do order them, make sure you order them during happy hour and see if they can round you up a non-alcoholic one.
Yeah.
I don't think that exists.
They'd have to round me up more than that. They'd also have to round me up
an
ambulance ride. So there you go. Kayla, thanks a ton.
You're welcome.
We'll see you next Monday. She's always here three of the week from 5 to 9, and we'll check on then. So, Kayla, thanks.
This is the Pat Miller Program on WoWo 92.3 FM and 1190 AM and at WoWo.com.
Hey, welcome back. It is the Pat Miller Program here as we're getting ready to wrap up hour number one here on this Saturday. Glad you guys are with us, and we'll continue to move through all this. Remember, 3 hours, we'll do it every week, and glad you guys are here. Please remember, you can send me a text while we're here, or even after we're gone. Just go to WoWo.com and click on the text line. And when you get to the text line, you can find us, or go to 46862. That's 46862. Just text the word WoWo and then your question or comment, and it comes right here. And then you can also email me when I'm here or even after we're gone. And that's pretty easy. That's Pat Miller, all one word, no dots or dashes. That's Pat Miller at WoWo.com. This is one of the most brazen things I've ever heard from somebody out of the U.S. Congress, primarily out of our Senate. I don't agree with him on a lot of issues that he brings up or the way he does it, but I'll just say this. Chuck Schumer from New York is so full of himself that he feels he could just walk to the floor of the Senate and say something as the all-powerful majority leader of the Senate, like, for example, suggesting a two-state solution to the problem between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and that to do so, they need to get rid of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And he did this from the floor. And when he does it, he does this little casual thing where he just kind of says, here it is, and there you go. And he just kind of throws the palms of his hands up in the air like he's sitting there trying to knead bread. And he's just saying, isn't this beautiful what I've put together? He's calling on Israel to elect a new prime minister to replace Benjamin Netanyahu in order to move towards a lasting peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians and form this two-state solution. Well, now, can I just say this? Israel has tried a two-state solution with the Palestinians several times. And I mean several times. You could go back into the 70s and you can find out that Yasser Arafat, who at the time was in charge of the PLO, the Palestine Liberation Organization, and he made all of these demands on the nation of Israel. Within a week, Israel came back and agreed to every one of them. Every one of them. And yet, they rejected it. Now get this straight. Follow me when I'm saying this. Mr. Producer, are you taking notes? You ready for this? The PLO leader, Yasser Arafat, said, here's what we want. We need this, 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 and this. Within a week, okay, I've met with my cabinet, I've met with the Knesset here in Israel, and we're going to give the Palestinians this, 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 and this. There was not one thing that they asked for that Israel did not give them. And the response? They rejected it. They rejected what they never thought Israel would do it. You know, usually it has been the habit of the Palestinians and like-minded Arabs to come in with one wing too strong. Oh, they'll never go for this. Well, that time they did. They came in and they asked them and they mowed through the whole thing and they finally said, guys, let's do this. Let's give it to them. Let's have this and be done with it. And so they gave it all to them. Well, in this thing that they did this time, where there, Schumer said on the Senate floor that Netanyahu was one of four obstacles to this two-state solution. One of four. He said, Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way by allowing his political survival to take the precedence over the best interests of Israel. May I just say, there are some people on the floor of our House and Senate, Mr. Schumer, who have put their own political interests over the best interests of the nation of the United States and try to just broom everything else under. The majority leader said that Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way. And then he went on and said Hamas and the Palestinians who support and tolerate their evil ways, radical right-wing Israelis in government and society, and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas are the other obstacles. Now, all of those are obstacles, but he thinks we can get there quick if we can just get Netanyahu out of the way. Okay, I'm just going to ask you, who in the living heck does Schumer think he is? Look, just because you've got some people in your own party that are power hungry, Mr. Schumer, and so you think if you start spitting out epithets, whether it's about Israel or the economy or abortion or whatever it is, certainly the southern border, but you just start spitting out things and you pound your little fist on your little pulpit there on the Senate floor and all your people come rushing to you, that doesn't mean that people around the world will stand ready to just grab on and to bite into everything you're trying to give them as if things coming off your lips are like pure gold, because they're not. Sometimes they're tarnished before they even make their way out of your mouth. According to Schumer, who is Jewish, by the way, he said, Israeli elections are the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel. You might want to be very, very, very careful, sir, because coming up November of this year, you're going to have a whole group of people who I think are going to want to bring an end to the Biden regime in this country, because we're tired of what it's doing to our country through our southern border. We're tired of what it's doing to our country through the financing of what's happening at the southern border. We're tired of what it's doing to our country through education, and where we've got people on college campuses who are more concerned with being woke than being willing to teach young people so they can become more productive in society. We don't educate the way that we used to because we're not the country we used to be. And guess what? Some of these people like Schumer and others that pick up his mantle and carry it for him, they don't care. They just want Schumer to like them. And maybe when he finds his new meaning in life, he'll have a way for them as well. Say what you want. I think Chuck Schumer is a joke. I think he's an absolute bloviated joke. If you could stick a stomach valve in him and punch it through his abdomen like they do with bloated goats and calves and let the air out, there would be nothing left of him and his effectiveness. And it would probably stink just as bad as a cow that's had too much fermented hay. That's what we need to do. Listen, folks, we're going to talk about it a lot this year, but please listen to me. Talk to your friends. Every time you're at a coffee shop, talk about it. It is not enough to win the elections this coming fall. It needs to be decisive. And the Republicans need to win and win decisively. Schumer needs to be nowhere close to a majority in the Senate. I want him so discouraged, the next thing that happens after the election is Chuck Schumer announces his resignation from the Senate. Who is he to call for what happens in Israel? And who are we to let him get away with it? More coming up straight ahead. Pat Miller, WOWO, 92.3 FM and 1190 AM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.